what it goes there for is to unlock the door. Well, those around them criticize and sleep.
Welcome, my podcast family, to another segment of I Won't Pretend Stay Woke with your host, me, Miss J. Want to tell everyone absolute high admiration for all who sent me messages and feedback about the last podcast that came out, which had to do with mental illness and mental health. You were so brave to be able to tell me your stories and to have listened to my story and taken something out of it. Plus, you were able to share it with other people and allowing me to have more listeners and more feedback and so much positive energy. Again, I so appreciate every single one of you. I may not say it all the time to each and every one of you, but you know who you are because you're listening to me and I'm listening to you. So again, thank you. I want to be able to also dedicate this podcast to a really, really good friend of mine, and she knows who she is because I did tell her I was going to dedicate this podcast to her based on a lot of the conversations that her and I have had. Have been such amazing insight, and I'm gonna just identify her as Dimples. Yeah, she knows who she is. So again, Dimples, thank you so much. Thank you so much for always being a rock for me. Not that other people have not been rocks, but when it comes down to your insight and your wisdom, it's always welcomed in my circle. So again, thank you so much. Without further ado, I'm going to just let you know that this particular segment has to do with perception. Yeah, we haven't tapped into that, right? Perception, how people view you, how you want to be viewed, how to change perception if usually it's a little negative, if you've thrown some little stinking thinking out there. And, you know, it's a lot of other stuff involved. So I hope you enjoy it. And as always, please throw some feedback my way. Let me know what you thought about it. And please enjoy. I'm going to start off with an example, okay? And the example is very cut and dry. It has to do with myself. So again, I can only make myself as an example. Friends and family normally view me as strong, a person that has a lot of strength, a person who's very resilient, which I tend to question that. And that's an attribute that I tend to exhibit on my sleeve. Okay. Inside, I'm literally a crippling child. I really am. I am in a fetal position pretty much out of 24 hours a day, maybe 15, cradled up in the bed with my thumb in my mouth, cause and rocking back and forth. That's how I see myself. Because quite frankly, you know, we're dealing with a lot of shit every day. And especially for those who know me, know the shit that I'm dealing with right now. Okay, but, you know, and in the past, I have long believed that I sometimes have come across as cold, unapproachable, off-putting, conceited, a bitch, shy, which I am not shy. All the other ones, it's questionable, but I am not shy. And due to my age, I honestly believe that I've earned the brownie points to be sometimes a little unapproachable and be a little standoffish sometimes and be a little arrogant. You know, sometimes us old timers, we get that way and we feel that we earned it. However, I never overstep my boundary. And quite frankly, sometimes I assume that this is part of my protective gear that I use that make me appear that way, and is to make myself resilient to a lot of the bullshit that happens out there. Other people sometimes say that, you know, they even went as far as calling me sweet. Wow, okay, yeah, sweet. But maybe, I don't know, let's just leave it there. Sweet, let's just leave it at sweet. Now, I find myself feeling maybe that to some extent, people choose to see what they want to see when they see me. Wow, that was a tongue twister, right? And sometimes it may even be the person who I aspire to be. I don't aspire to be a sweetie, but I may have come across that way because maybe sometime in my past life, I wanted to be that way or I was that way. I don't know. But not an unpleasant person either. But I can live with being considered unpleasant. I can do that now, okay? But anyway, I so digress. I just want to be able to just deal with the topic at hand, which is perception. How do you feel that people perceive you? How do you care? Do you care how people perceive you? Does it matter? Does it sometimes come across as something that you're deliberately trying to be like for whatever reason? Or are you doing this without really knowing and then you kind of realize later on that, holy shit, I really came across really, really bad. And at the same time, do you think that the perception of you is a problem? It's something that the mirror image of what we see when it comes down to perception, when someone points it out to you, is truly when you actually realize how you come across. If someone doesn't point it out, quite frankly, you're never gonna know. You're really not. So, you know, a good friend of yours is willing to tell you the truth about yourself, or if a parent is trying to tell you the truth about yourself, heed the warning, because 9 out of 10 times, they're right. So let's clarify a couple of things right now, okay? One is if you're a little bit confused about the word perception, let's try to clarify what exactly it means as per dictionary terms. Perception is reminding yourself that the world you experience around you is a dynamic reality that you can change, okay? How you perceive things is not a constant, and it's up to you to see the good and bad of it, okay? So if that's the case, it's up to you to take a leadership role and stay passive and see how your life unfolds or folds. You know, I really do want people to always use a visual in their own heads, because I really do believe in visualization, meditation. I believe in kind of imagining yourself in certain scenarios. So, you know, close your eyes for a second, I promise you. I will not leave, okay? Okay, so close your eyes and, you know, just imagine. Imagine that you, as vividly as you can, that you lost one arm, right? Just imagine that you lost an arm. How does that make you feel? Okay? Now, just imagine losing a leg. Now imagine losing someone you love. Okay, do you feel that? Your heart starts to beat a little bit more. It's scary, but it's powerful, and you feel it, right? Now, back to having everything back again, right? How does that make you feel? I can guarantee you it makes you feel appreciative and with lots of gratitude. Okay? So when you adopt a positive attitude and you create a mindset of growth and you challenge perceptions of the world and that prove to be useful, that is a good trait, a good behavior to adapt. Okay? I don't want to convince you to become like artificially happy, okay? Or artificially positive. That rah-rah, cheerleader shit goes down the drain, especially during this pandemic. But what I want you to do is that I want you to think and try to stay on a positive track. Attitude is the only thing that can determine if you have a good day or a bad day. Trust and believe that. It helps with the little issues. But it also, it also creates a positive framework on how you can approach life. And that's actually part of a quote, I believe, by John Maxwell. I think something like that. I didn't say it entirely, but yeah, you know what I'm saying. You really have got to do your best to put your foot forward and think and no stinking thinking, pretty much. It's hard to do, especially when we see so much chaos going around us. But take the time to look at the little things in life and appreciate them. And that also goes back to my question and my topic today about perception. When you present yourself to someone who doesn't know you, what is the perception you want them to leave with? Okay? How do you want to be remembered? If let's say that's the only time that person will ever have met you, will ever see you, will ever speak to you. So it's almost like talking to a person on a plane, and once you get off the plane and go your own destination, you never see that person again. And how do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered as someone who was funny? You want to be remembered as someone who was smelly? You want to be remembered as someone who was positive, outgoing? Someone who was a Debbie Downer? A crier? Someone who like just sleeps the entire... You see what I mean? You see where I'm going with this? How do you want to be remembered? And I know you care, because a lot of people say they don't care. But if you didn't, then the word perception will be a little bit obsolete. You know what I mean? I used to believe that it didn't really matter how people perceived me, especially when I was living in the group homes, and we were living with like a whole bunch of other young people. And it was just, young people under the age of 18 who didn't really give a shit. We just didn't care what people thought. So if we went up and down the streets, making noise and creating chaos, we did not care. And that's the luxury of being young, that you don't care, even though the consequences to that shit is a little bit extreme now. But like I was saying, back in the days, we just didn't care. We were very happy-go-lucky. We just did stuff and we created so much havoc. I remember going to supermarkets and just like knocking bottles of olive oil down and be like, oops, and out I go. I remember getting on the train and jumping the turnstile every single day and just waving at the clerk. I did not care. But right now, as an adult, I do care how people perceive me, and I do care how people view me. And it also, and the reason why we do care is because now with social media and everything, yeah, it follows you. Your shit follows you. But also because it makes a difference. It makes a difference on how you feel about yourself too. When you say you don't give a damn, you have a bad taste in your mouth. You have that frown on your face. I mean, it's like you're smelling something, right? But when you say, yo, you know something, I really care about what people think, it brings a smile to your face because you start thinking about the cool attributes about you. Would you go on a dating site or would you go on a date? Would you meet someone for the first time that you really, really like and be like, yo, guess what? I don't really care what you think about me. Take me as I am. That doesn't always pan out very well now, does it? So let's go ahead and get rid of all the riffraff that I'm talking about, because I will do a 3-hour podcast and get to no point at all. Okay, so let's break down, let's say first impressions. Okay, let's break down first impressions. A first impression can make a lasting impact, right? Let's say when you shake somebody's hand, right? So when you shake someone's hand, there's either a positive or a negative. And it becomes a little difficult to replace the negative with a positive one. So when you're shaking someone's hand, depending on how strong you do it and how hard you shake the person's hand, that creates an impression, right? An impression of whether you're assertive, whether you're, just a pansy, whether you really want the job or not. See, that's where a perception comes. And that has to do with when you go to an employer or when you meet someone in person, right, an important person. Now let's go about the next type of perception, stereotypes. Stereotypes can really impact perception. Everybody knows about stereotypes. We deal with it every day. That can include age, sex, ethnic background. Hey, black folks, brown folks, don't we know it? Sexual orientation, don't we know it? Social status, and God, I said God, right? Religion. So a lot of these stereotypes, a lot of us have learned them in childhood. And a lot of it, unfortunately, they're kind of difficult to overcome. Very hard to change a person who has a perception that's embedded with them since they were very young. And because of that, that can lead to a lot of inaccurate assumptions without even trying to review who you really are. And that shit really sucks. So you got to be very careful about that. You don't want to be that person, okay? There's another one, okay? There's another one called selective perception. I don't know if you ever heard of that. I, quite frankly, just started to hear about that recently. And selective perception is actually, it's like tunnel vision, okay? When only a few facts come into focus, okay? So you, in a way, simultaneously ignore and minimize all the other shit. So you don't care about anything else other than the facts that you see right in front of you, and that's all that matters. So the people that have selective perception only see a solution, only see one solution, that's it, and ignore everything else. However, there is a negative consequence to that too. And they've chosen it because they don't want to see any other way than what they decide to see. So that also can have some really creepy negative effects. Now, do you catch yourself doing any of this? Any of these perceptions that I listed? I'm just pointing it out because, yeah, we're human. And I'm sure that we suffer from a couple of this. But you got to check yourself, right? What about the self-fulfilling prophecy? You know those folks, right? Okay, the ones that have like an external expectation and then subconsciously set up like the environment to fulfill them. Yeah, they're caught up in their own heads. And they can be positive or negative expectation, but again, it's all in their head. And it directly influences the people they interact with. Okay, case in point, 45, the person who just got exited from the White House. Perfect example. There you go. Another perfect example. Let's say the Kardashians. Dare I say anymore? So if someone is thinking themselves as a failure, then they may not want to put that much effort into being successful, right? But if someone thinks themselves as very successful, then things become very new. They become very exciting. The challenges are not that bad. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, I hope it does because I tend to confuse myself a little bit. But again, do you see yourselves in any of these? In any of these, right? Another perception is, confirmation biases, right? So, a confirmation bias, tend to interpret and search for evidence to confirm your own belief. So if you think about it, it's almost like saying, if you take the vaccine for COVID right now, you're only going to get really bad symptoms, and you're gonna just like get worse and you'll die. That's very extreme, right? You know, so that's the reason why I'm not getting the vaccine. I don't want to hear it. That's it. I'm confirming my own belief. And, you know, based on whatever contradictions are out there, it doesn't matter. This is my belief. And it involves a lot of systematic error, right? And a lot of inductive reasoning. And it makes us really convince ourselves that what we're saying is true. And people interpret that information based on biased manner. And that's how they support their conclusions. Yeah, boy, I sound so damn intelligent with this one. But this is based on research. Okay, so when you speak to people that are like this, a lot of these folks do tend to come across as very assertive and very knowledgeable and very stuck in their ways. And you almost, if you blink, you end up believing what they're saying, unless you go out of your way and research and read and get your information correct. That way you don't pass on ridiculous information, okay? And one of the last ones in terms of, it's about six of them, right? I think this is the sixth one, is the anchoring effect, okay? It's something called the anchoring effect, where it's a tendency to compare only a few limited things. So, you know, we fixate on a single value or a number, and then we use it as a benchmark to compare everything else. So let's say you see a pair of jeans, right? And they usually cost about, let's say, $400. I've never seen a pair of $400 jeans, by the way. And they're marked down by 50%, which I've never seen a pair of jeans marked down by 50%. Just saying. But we tend to focus on the value, right? But not the actual price. That's anchoring effect. So a lot of marketing strategists, they use that. They take advantage of the anchoring effect when pricing and selling products because it deals with perception. It deals in how we see things. We take the price and deduct the value because we just want the fucking price that's on sale. And what the hell? That's what we want. So hopefully I did six, okay? Because that's what I was aiming for. So let me know if I didn't, okay? Because I'm gonna listen to this podcast on my own anyway. So I'll figure it out. Okay, my podcast friend, I am going to give you yet another lesson, right? So this has to do with perception is reality. God, you know something? I believe that I have said the word perception easily like 500 times already. And I will start counting when I listen to this back again. So perception is based on, let's say, what people perceive, right? And what you are actually thinking. So, you know, how many times do you feel like hella misunderstood by pretty much everybody? Like, we're literally the freak in the room. We're so fucking misunderstood. Because, you know, maybe you feel that people, you know, they don't get you. Whether it's family or friend, they just don't fucking get you. They're not on the same page with you. You know, and, you know, quite frankly, maybe others truly don't get you. But that's not because of them. It's most likely because of your own behavior, right? That's what you put out in the universe. I work with a pretty big group of folks. I mean, over 20, you can say. And every morning we get together on Teams, and, you know, we look at each other's faces. Well, not everybody shows their face, but we literally show each other's faces every morning, and we talk and we converse and we have like a little morning meeting, right? A lot of us have never met in person. As a matter of fact, 98% of us have never met in person, and what we put out there on the screen is how people perceive us on a daily basis. I know for myself, I'll give an example. Normally when my coworkers see me, I have a wall of string lights and I have a huge piece John Lennon Basquiat poster in the back that's huge. It takes up like pretty much the whole wall. I have Bob Marley, I have Dexter, I have African drum. I have, you know, there's so much shit on my wall, but that's what makes me happy. That particular thing is what makes me happy. When I look behind me, I feel alive. I feel I'm in my own environment. It makes me feel good, right? However, when people look at my wall, when we're in a meeting, they're literally looking at my wall. They're not even looking at me. They're looking at my wall. They're trying to figure out what the hell is going on back there. And they're creating a perception of me. they're thinking, okay, so she's a hippie, she's you know, love, peace, and hair grease, which I always say. Oh, she's either very young, or she's like really loopy, or she's extremely happy. All of this, right? So everyone starts. She's very artistic. Yeah, I think I am. But yeah, going further, you know, all that stuff is being perceived. So that's the perception that I put out there. But this is really who I am. And that's how I reflect it on my wall. And when I see other people also on camera, I'm looking to see, you know, what does that say about them? Then I have to say to myself, do not judge a book by its cover, hence background. Because a lot of times the background that we see doesn't necessarily portray who we are. What happens if you're sitting on your bed and there's nothing behind you but, you know, the bed frame, just a wall? Does that mean that you are a colorless person, that you have no artist impact on anybody, that you're just boring? Yeah, sometimes that happens. And until we get to talk to that individual and we get to know them, then we realize that, you know, hey, you're a fucking cool person, truly. So that's just an example. And I guess when you start thinking it that way, you'll understand where, you know, how our perception develops without us not really knowing it, and how it impacts our judgment of other people. I've learned extremely early in life that you have to have an open mind with other folks. The people that you are negatively perceiving may end up being your best friend, and maybe the person that pulls you out of the worst situation of your life. Now, you know, I have a friend. You know, he's not defensive. You know, he's a moral person with strong values, but he often feels the need to explain himself to everybody, and sometimes that comes across as defensive. Do you find yourself doing that sometimes? And if that's the case, check yourself before you do it. And then you'll realize how you come across. You have to check within yourself. And unfortunately, that is the reality, and you have to keep that in mind all the time. It makes your life easier. You know, change what people perceive. Just change what people perceive if that's what you want to do. And then how do you change other people's perception? How do you do it? I guess, let me see, for myself, influence, you know, influence the perception, you know, show people how you really are, and don't try to be fake about it, because they're going to find out eventually, but don't try to be fake about it. The answer lies in the science of influence. Ha ha, yes it does. So, you know, I got the feeling that because we are so caught up with social media and how people see us on pictures and how people see us online, we always feel that we have to come across that way. We always have to be happy. We always have to be posing. We always have to be with the duck lips. No, you don't always have to be that. You really don't. I appreciate my friends for showing me who they really are, and the ugly cry. I appreciate that so, so much more than every single time I see them. They're fucking smiling with a full face full of makeup. Or the guys that are flexing every time they're in a picture. Hey, guys cry too. I know they do, you know? But you also have to guard yourself against, you know, people who try to make you do things that you don't want. And unfortunately, to be honest, this happens often. Because you see someone else influencing another on social media, then you feel you have to up the ante, you know, and you have to up it a little bit more, and you have to look a little better, and you have to post better pictures, and you know where I'm coming from. So try not to get caught up with all that shit. It's really not that great. You know, and go deeper. Go deeper in terms of perception and how you want to come across. So let's try to cut to the chase yet again, okay? So you really want to know, quite frankly, you know, how can you change how people view you? And that, my dear, is where I come in, where I can actually help you do you. And what I did to help me when it came down to how people perceive me. I am not a perfect picture, and by no means is my answer the perfect answer. Remember, I'm not trained to do this. But let me throw a couple of tips out there and take the ones that you need and discard the ones that you don't, okay? So now, whether you are a person who worries a lot about how people perceive you, or someone who likes to do damage control after, you know, making a bad impression, it is totally possible. It is totally possible to, you know, to adjust it, to adjust people's opinion about you. It may sound impossible, but it actually could happen. With that said, you aren't wrong to worry about whether or not, you know, to update everyone's opinion. You know, you're not wrong to want to do that. And it may not always work. Okay, just saying. Maybe the damage has gone too far. But for right now, let's stick on the positive and let's act as though you want to change yourself right now. Okay? You want to create an impact that'll last on good terms. Embrace your personal style. How's that? And just embrace who you are. Embrace who you are. You know, when we dress up and we wear something that makes us feel really good, that's our personal style. You know, I've always been known to be very bohemian, whatever that word may mean, that's what they classify me as, but very bohemian, very carefree, very breezy clothes. I am not one to wear tight clothing. I am not one to wear like tight jeans. I am not one to wear revealing clothes or crop tops. Never been me. Not at all. It's always been very comfortable, very laid back. And that's the way I want people to perceive me. Okay, so when I walk out that door, I'm just a laid back person. And when I dress up, yo, I kick ass, right? Give off good vibes. How hard is that? Give off good vibes, right? Smile. Hey, yeah. Well, work on your expressions. I know I have a really bad habit of my eyebrow tends to speak for me. So if I'm curious about something or if I'm like questioning anything, my right eyebrow just stays up. If I'm doubtful about what you're saying, my eyebrow goes up. If I can smell your bullshit, my eyebrow goes up. And people that know me, oh gosh, now you know. That's how they see me, okay? So everybody sees me through my eyebrow. So I have to learn to gauge that, and I have to learn to control my face, because my face tends to show a lot, and it can throw good vibes and it can throw bad vibes. How many times have people said to you, oh my God, you look so serious today, what's wrong, having a bad day? And quite frankly, you know what you're thinking about? What the fuck am I going to make for dinner? Because I have no idea, because there's nothing thought out. I might as well order out. Hey, yep, that's what we're thinking. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. But by the time that person walks away from you and you say nothing, they have gone back to everybody and they'll be like, yo, such and such is having a really fucked up day. You see their face, they look really pissed off. Don't approach them. And then your whole day turns into everybody's avoiding you. You know why? Because you have a stank face. That's why. Okay? So, that's the reality. You know, when you sit, you know, don't sit hunched in. I know since you were young, people talk about posture, right? But your posture tends to give off if you're a positive person or if you're a confident person. You know, if your shoulders are pushed back, they appear broader. You, for us shorty rocks, we appear taller. And it conveys confidence. So why don't you follow your body's lead, okay? And everyone who sees you sitting up and at attention, they'll do the same thing because they'll start to be like, yo, body language, I look all hunched over and this person is sitting up, let me sit up too. Another thing, you know, ask a lot of questions when you're around people. Don't sit in a corner by yourself. Believe me when I tell you, everyone is approachable. Everyone is approachable. You got that? Bottom line, everybody's approachable. Okay? You know, when you're meeting other people, you're mingling in a group, focus on being that amazing person who just like doesn't shut up asking questions. Don't ask random questions that have nothing to do with the topic at hand. Like, don't sit and say, hey, by the way, did you see Casablanca? You know, and half of these people, they're probably like millennials. Okay, you know what I mean? So stick to like the present and stick to real topics. People love sharing their stories. They do. That's just how we are. And you'll see people instantly start to like you. And no, I'm not trying to say to kiss ass. I'm just trying to say people will like you if you engage, as opposed to sitting in the background staring at the elements with a watered down drink. Okay, so, you know, try and talk. Eye contact. Yo, how many times does it piss you off when you're talking to someone and they don't even look at you in the face when you're talking to them? That to me is fucking annoying, okay? What about when they're on their phone and you're talking to them and they're like literally on their phone? That bothers the shit out of me. And if you're one of those people that do it, please don't do it in front of me. Oh my God, that's so annoying. And if you're gonna make a phone call, just tell me, yo, give me a minute, I have to make a phone call. Or give me a minute, I have to answer this text. I'm good with that. But don't just look down while I'm talking. Don't do it. But make a healthy amount of eye contact. How hard is that? When your children, for the ones that have children, when you're talking to them and you're giving them advice or you're, you know, reprimanding them, tell me how many times it does not piss you off when you go, look at me when I'm talking to you. That way I know you're acknowledging me. Same thing goes with adults. Look at the other person, acknowledge the fact that they're talking to you, and they'll do the same with you. And if they're not looking at you, just tell them, hey, are you paying attention? Are you? You can ask them that. That's not a problem. Avoiding eye contact clues other people that you're not confident or sure about yourself. And that's probably not even true. You know, it probably isn't, but because it's a learned behavior, you do it for whatever reasons. So, hey, get into a habit of practicing eye contact in the mirror. You'll get used to it. I know I did. Relax your body language. 9 out of 10 times, you know, we meet people, well, when the world used to be a normal world out there, you know, you meet people every day and they're all like so tense. I swear to God, you cannot even pry a crowbar out their asses. They're so fucking tight. And there's really no reason to be. They have like this tight look on their face. Maybe it's a New York thing. I don't know. It might be a New York thing. But it's really tricky to relax when you're outside of your element. But damn it, are you outside of your element all the time that you have to look that uptight? So it's important to give it a try and just slow down. You know, relax your face a little bit. Uncross your arms. I don't know. When you're physically relaxed, other people perceive you that you're comfortable with yourself. And it also shows that you are confident, that you're good with yourself. You know, you're okay. When you're all like tight and uptight, either you're keeping a really big secret or you have a really bad stomach problem. And if you fart, everything will come out. One or the other. And hopefully it's not the latter. You know, just show up. Show up. That creates a good impression. Show up. When you're invited to go certain places and you're expected to be there, show up. How simple is that? And if you're not going to be there, let them know. If there's an RSVP, RSVP or not, but let them know. How easy is that? That takes away the perception that you're not consistent. That creates the impression that you don't care. You know, it creates the impression when you do these things that you don't care. When you don't reply to messages, when you don't reply to a text, sometimes you can't reply to a text, but when you don't reply at all, ever, when you don't reply to a voicemail, when you don't send back a Christmas card or say thank you or anything, when you don't respond, people take you as someone who's not consistent at all. You know, or maybe very selfish or a loser. So, and a lot of times you lose a lot of people that you love and you care about because of that perception, because they no longer trust that you're going to be present. So, you know, just, you know, you have to, if you choose not to attend a situation or an event, just say you're not going. It's okay. Don't ghost people. Just, you know, say something. They took the time to invite your ass. Say something, you know? Okay, so this is where Tinkerbell comes in. Fill your brain with positive thoughts. Hard to do. Very hard to do. But you can try. Not back-to-back positive thoughts. But if you're always focusing on negative thoughts, that's all you're ever going to be. Negative. You'll carry that on you like a freaking anchor. It's important to get rid of that negative self-talk. If you say something positive, you know, to yourself, such as, yo, man, shit, I can do this. I can do this. You will. People generally respond well to positivity. Guaranteed, they really do. This is something that a lot of people don't do. I really, really pride myself in this particular trait that I have and an ongoing behavior that I nurture. Okay, and that is listen to what other people are saying. I mean, really listen. You know, when I said about asking questions, that also comes into play when you're listening to people. You know, it's almost like, it's called looping. That's what they call it. It's actually called looping. You know, if someone is telling you a long, involved story, you know, say, hey, you know something? Let me interrupt you for a minute. Let me just clarify that, and that. You know, is that right? Or did I hear you right? Because then they know that you're listening. And you can also call them on their bullshit. But listen carefully what people are saying. And it allows them to clarify anything that we missed. Either way, they're going to be left thinking that you're a great listener. Right? See? It's a positive impact. So try really to listen to what other people are saying. And sometimes in relationships, hint, in relationships, you gotta listen to what that other person is saying. Because a lot of times, you're so busy with stars in your eyes that you're not listening when they say, I'll see you later. Okay? No specific time or date, just later. What about when I'll call you later? No specific time, just later. Okay? What about when they say, hey, call me. Catch you later. See where we're going with the later? And we in our minds are thinking that it's a half hour. It's a half hour. I haven't seen them. Let me call. So you got to pick up on those cues. You got to pick up on people that are in relationships that say to you, I'm not the marrying kind, or I'm not the committed kind. I've never been in love. Never really loved anybody. Never. When I move away, I want to move away to an island by myself. Keywords, by myself. You gotta pay attention, because obviously, doesn't include you. And if you listen back to a couple of other, like a few podcasts back, there's a whole podcast about that. So, you know, you might listen to that. That tells you a lot about what people actually are really thinking and all that other shit. So, don't want to get into that right now, but don't if you're feeling shy and it's normal for you to normally like shrink up and slouch or fold up your arms and take up space, extend your presence. extend your presence. When you take space, people will see you as more powerful, right? Not an egomaniac, just a little bit more, a little bit more powerful. Certain gestures just create more space. It's that simple. And just show enough that it conveys that you feel comfortable and you can move around easily with who you are. Okay? I hope I made sense with that one. Yeah, sometimes that's kind of hard to explain. And you know, be charismatic. Yes, I know you find that hard to believe to do this, right? But be charismatic. How hard is that? You like charismatic people too. It doesn't mean that you have to be all up somebody's ass. It just means be charismatic, be charming if you can. In this pandemic, we don't see people anymore. So when you are in front of other people, because we have a face mask on, you need to convey charisma, because no one can see you really smile. No one can see your teeth, okay? So yeah, be charismatic. And the more comfortable you can be in any situation, the better. So go ahead, laugh out loud. Why not? When people are talking to you, pay attention and laugh. It's the energy is fucking contagious. I know that normally when we are dealing with a lot of really hard day at work, and because we all work from home, sometimes we have like this general chat group on our phones, and we just throw little jokes here and there, and sometimes being random can make the whole group just smile. Sometimes when I'm in those group meetings face to face, you know, like on team, on Microsoft team, when we're looking at each other, and sometimes I am so random, I'll just say something really stupid and I can see other people laughing in the background. And it's not necessarily that I'm trying to make them laugh, because I'm just being myself. You know, I'm a clown, what the hell, haha. So I just come across that way. I don't want to come across as uptight, because I'm not. So I'll throw out a joke here and there without offending anybody, but I'm a jokester. And it comes across, and the energy, you know, you can see the energy build up because of that. And you'll hold a positive spot in your own brain. And I think that is so, so great. Oh God, if you hear that sound again, it's outside. It's not coming from inside my home, because I do not have a giant motor inside the house. Anyway, lastly, when it comes down to, you know, oh gosh, I say lastly, right? But quite frankly, there's so much more to it than this. But most importantly, decide how you'd like to define yourself. Ha ha ha, right? Define how you decide how you'd like to define yourself, okay? Before heading into a situation where you'll need to make a good impression, you got to try really hard to do this, try filling your head with positive words and use them to define yourself. You know, pick three adjectives. What the fuck? Pick three adjectives. You want the attendees or the person that's interviewing you, or the people that you just met, or the guy or girl that you want to impress. Three adjectives that they can use to describe you. Okay. Doing this, it does really help you focus on your energy, and it helps give off positive vibes. Now, do you want those vibes to come across as stank, horrible, rude, bitchy, standoffish, all of that? Do you want it to come off that way, or do you want it to come off as positive, encouraging, funny, silly, loopy, like I am sometimes? How do you want to come across? Because I know it's important to you. You don't want to admit it, but it is important to you. And you have got to be the focus of your own attention, quite frankly. Because again, in this pandemic, we have pretty much lost our identity, because there's no one else to really, you know, put ourselves out there for. Everything we do is literally on social media or from the chest up, right? So you don't want to come across as someone who's, you know, sluggish or lazy or always with a furrowed brow or always looking lost. You don't want that. You know something? Let me correct myself. I don't really know if you want that, but you shouldn't want that. Okay? You definitely do not want to do that. How you're perceived at work also makes a big difference. Yes, granted, most of us are working from home. Totally get it. We don't have to keep beating on that. Totally get it. But how people perceive you at work makes a big difference, especially now. Okay, it really does make a big difference. We are often so freaking confused and uncertain, and we lack self-awareness. And this can actually limit your career. because we are working from home and because people don't really see us and we don't interact on a normal basis, what people see in front of that camera in the morning or anytime you have a meeting, that's how they're going to view you. And yeah, how you speak, how you articulate, how your vocabulary, all of this makes an impact on how people think about you. And there's that saying, it's like, well, you know, I don't have this job to make friends. I'm just here to work. Well, my dear, right now you need friends. Okay? You really need friends. Because right now we can't afford to be lonely. So you really need a good support system. So remember that. Knowing that most of us don't clearly project what we intend, it doesn't stop us from, you know, confidently trying to form impressions. So if you're in a company who hired you based on the impression you gave them, stay consistent. They would not have hired you had you made a bad impression. Okay? It's that simple. They would not have hired you. So stay consistent with that. Tap into that part of yourself. It really does makes a difference. You know, out of the group that we work in, we have a selected group. I know, I hate to say that, but we have a selected group of ladies, right? Unfortunately, no men are in there because we really don't have a lot of men working with us. I can count maybe 3 or 4, maybe. But we have a selected group, and these are my colleagues who I repeatedly, you know, speak to on a day-to-day basis. We text each other, we email each other, we influence each other, what we eat for the evening, what we're going to drink, what we're going to do this weekend, our family situation, our bad, our lows, our highs, our laughters, you know. We've had coworkers who have recent death in the family, and we've been there to support her. They've been there for me with my current situation. They've been there to support me. Birthdays, anniversaries, children's birth, all of that, that's important. And you have to select the people who you want to ingratiate yourself with. You want to do that. And you don't want to be that person at work that someone says, well, you know something? Who was that again? You don't ever want to be that person. I know I don't. And there are a lot of people in my group that are floating out there who I have never even heard their voice. Eventually it'll happen, but we'll never know their voice. You know, manage your reactions. Resist the temptation to have to explain yourself to other people. Yo, that pisses the fuck out of me. Having to explain myself to other people. Really? Why? If it's not warranted, I don't have to explain myself. Really? Really, at all. Defend my own actions? No, not at all. You don't have to do that. The quality of feedback is only as good as our ability to remain comfortable when receiving it. Okay? So, yeah. That's the quality of the feedback. So, if you can stay comfortable while you're getting feedback, yeah, go for it. But if you're an individual that is judgmental or just like throwing feedback without trying to put yourself in that other person's shoes, you got another thing coming. Yo, yes you do. And you need to end it with a sincere thank you and let it go. Because it's going to be a hard, hard road for you. So learn to, you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to defend your actions. But if it comes an opportunity where you have to do something like that, for whatever circumstance, say what you gotta say and call it a day. But don't overly justify your actions. This is who you are. You did it, it's done. Dead deal. Done. Okay? You know something? I'm actually pretty much almost done when it comes down to my own research about perception. Because there is so much out there about this. And I can go into days of information, and for all I know, I'll probably do a part 2 to this, okay? And I value your input. Please continue to do what you have been doing. Send me your feedback, because yes, I do appreciate feedback, and I do accept it. I embrace it. send me your ideas. I may not always, do all of them because I can't. I cannot possibly do a podcast for every idea thrown at me. And certain things don't really apply to this platform. I don't necessarily like talking about politics. I don't really like talking about depressing stuff. I like talking about being progressive. I like talking about positive vibes. I like talking about sharing ideas, opinions that would allow you to move forward in life, that would allow you to seek better relationships, better rapport with other people. So if you have some of that to throw at me, please, by all means, do so. This is what I'm here for. Miss J is here to spread joy. Yes, I am. Love, peace, and hair grease, right? Well, with that, I am going to conclude this particular podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And if I rambled on for way too long, I am so not sorry. I'm not sorry at all, because this is what conversation is like. And if you're dealing with a real conversation, it's never scripted. It's the real deal. So we tend to sometimes talk until we drop. And that sometimes happens to be me. Anyway, to my listeners, thank you so much for joining me for another podcast of I Won't Pretend Stay Woke. Let's continue to shame the devil, okay? Keep telling the truth and shame the devil. Love, peace, and hair grease, as I said before. I will end this with another great song by Seal, because I know that after you listen to Crazy, you're going to want to listen to a little bit more of him, because he is such a great artist. Holla.